All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. It is a Week 10 edition of the show as the 6-2 Buccaneers, 8 games into their season, now past the bye week and 9 games remaining as they get set to take on the New England Patriots at Raymond James Stadium this week in a game that pits. I should have checked this official. I'm pretty sure this is the highest combined winning percentage of any two teams to play each other so far this year, not counting like 1-0 versus 1-0 or whatever in the early weeks. But you've got two teams that combined 13-4 here as the surprise 7-2 Patriots come into town, riding a 6-game winning streak after a 1-2 start, which was about what everybody figured. Oh, the Patriots, okay, they're not what they used to be. They got a young quarterback. They're not that good yet, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're 7-2 now. And so it's going to be a tough one. They've got some, you know, obviously Drake May playing really well for them offensively. They have a good, really good run-stopping defense and a decent defense in general and a whole bunch of other things. So we're going to talk about it today. It should be a fun one at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday. Weather should be nice. It's going to be on the warmer side for this time of year, a little warmer than it's been all week, but certainly very pleasant in the low 80s and sunny. Now, we'll talk about this later in the show. Probably a lot of Patriots fans in the house, maybe even more opposing fans than we're used to, and even the normal amount is more than it is in other places. Even like San Francisco, for example, the last home game had quite a few, but this will be even more than that. We'll talk about it. There's some stuff going on with that I want to talk about. But in the meantime, obviously no game this past week with the bye week. The Bucs go up to the Superdome the week before and get their win in New Orleans and do what they have to do. So they're in a good spot. We said the whole time, you know, it's going to be hard certain weeks and it's going to get easier in others. And we said the whole time, okay, get to that bye week at 6-2. And even when they had the tough loss in Detroit, which nobody wants to see that, but even when they had the tough loss in Detroit, we knew if they could win that Saints game, they'd be in a good spot. And they sit now, Atlanta losing again last week. The Bucs sit now actually with Carolina as their closest competition in the NFC South. Only a game and a half back as Carolina has not had their bye week yet. They're 5-4. Bucs are 6-2. Bucs don't play Carolina until the final few weeks of the season. They play them 2 weeks out of three near the very end there. In the meantime, you know, they look like they're the show. Atlanta's struggling, having lost three in a row. These Patriots actually beat them last week in a one-point game after Atlanta missed an extra point after one of their touchdowns. And so, you know, you never know how things are going to go. In the South, we knew the Saints were probably going to be bad, and they are. And we figured the Bucs would be pretty good, and they look like they are. I would say right now the Falcons are where I thought the Panthers might be, down there in third place at 3-5. And the Panthers are about where I thought the Falcons would be, a little behind the Bucs, but being pesky at 5-4. So the actual standings don't look that different from what I thought as far as the top four, the 1-4, their records. I would just have switched the number 2 and 3 teams. But either way, if you look at all the prediction markets and all the odds, percentage chances, blah, 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 Bucs rank pretty highly in all of those as far as likelihood to win the NFC South. It's not going to be easy, though. And they do have now a 2-0 division record thanks to that win in New Orleans. Head-to-head tiebreakers, of course, with Carolina. We'll see. Haven't played them yet. And hopefully none of that even matters because they win the division going away. Either way, three really tough games coming up for the Buccaneers now as they will face the Patriots this week, who are 7-2. Then they'll go to Buffalo, who is 6-2. And then they go to the Rams on Sunday night after that. And the Rams are 6-2. 19-4, the combined record of the next three opponents, and two of them are on the road. And so I always, you know, I'm on Twitter, at Bobby Game Day, if you ever want to follow me, BobbyGameDay, and Blue Sky as well. I go to Joe Bucks Fan, I read the articles, I look at the comments a lot, and stuff like that, because I like to read. And so I see a lot of people talking about, like, oh, you know, and fans are going to be fans. Like, oh, this is a must-win game on Sunday, they got three tough games coming up. If they lose this game, you know, they might go out and lose the next three in a row, and they'd be 6-5. First of all, you could argue that must-win games shouldn't be used just in general at all this early in the year, and I wouldn't argue with you. But at the very least, when you are 6-2, there is not a must-win game that week. I don't give a damn who it's against, okay? Let alone, I know the two games after this one are also going to be hard, But there's no rule that says if they don't win this one, that means they are unable to therefore go ahead and win the other two as well. They could lose this one and win in Buffalo or win in L.A. or both. I don't know. But when you're looking at tiebreakers and stuff like that, especially as we will once we get into December and early January, the non-conference games are the ones that matter the least. So if you told me they were going to lose a couple, and I don't want them to lose any, I'm not having that mentality. I'm just saying this week and next week are less important than the Rams game. One, the Rams game is an NFC game just in general. And two, that's a team you could directly be looking at being tied with or competing with for playoff seeding, assuming you do win the South and whoever it is, because they've already beaten the Seahawks and they've already beaten the 49ers. If they can beat the Rams in a couple weeks, then the Bucs will have a tiebreaker over whoever wins the NFC West, I should say. Again, I don't know if that'll even matter or not, but it'll go a long way. Right now, all you care about is winning the division, period. So you're keeping an eye on Carolina and things like that, and you need to win any game you can. This one, like I said, is going to be a challenge. The Patriots come in here with a rushing defense. I had to double-check that. I didn't believe this when I read it at first. The Patriots have not allowed, forget about a 100-yard rusher, the Patriots have not allowed a 50-yard game to any running back this year. And the only person they've allowed anybody to rush over 50 yards is Josh Allen, rushed for 53 when the Bills played him earlier in the year. And that's it. Like 53 is the most yards they've given up rushing to any individual, and none over 50 yards for running backs. So when you combine that with a Bucs running game that all of a sudden, it was phenomenal last year, is starting to spit the bit a little bit. They're 28th in the NFL in yards per carry right now. Obviously, Bucky Irving's hurt, and he helps a lot. He helps make the offensive line look better and the running game look better. Although I think Rashad White is right there. I mean, I cannot wait to get Bucky Irving back, and it doesn't appear to be this week. But either way, I'm not saying that's the only reason. I mean, y'all saw the Saints game, and overall, hey, bad team, division game, road game. There are no bad wins. There are no bad road wins, and there certainly aren't any bad division road wins. But y'all saw the game. The Bucs got owned up front. That was kind of concerning. And it wasn't just, oh, well, they don't have Luke Goedeke, Charlie Heck, blah, blah, blah. First of all, I think Heck had a decent game, which he hasn't been good overall, but that actually wasn't one of his worst games. And second of all, it wasn't just Charlie Heck or the flavor of the month at right guard, whatever they're doing to have to get through it. Grant Barton is not doing well. And even Tristan Wirfs was getting pushed around a little bit. I was like, eh. Everybody has bad game. I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying my point is the Bucs offensive line right now is having its share of issues, and it's not all just Charlie Heck. Although I will point out this stat. This was something I saw on Twitter earlier in the week. Heck, and this is pass blocking now, Heck hasn't been that bad in run blocking. He is 93rd in the league in just total number of snaps played by offensive linemen. So he obviously hasn't played all year. He came in as an injury replacement. 93rd amongst linemen in snaps taken. Where do you think he ranks in pressures allowed? Not having played that much, but still an overall count stat, where do you think he ranks in pressures allowed? Quarterback pressures allowed. That'd be number one. He's given up the most pressures, allowed the most pressures of any lineman in the league despite playing the 93rd most snaps. So that leads me to where we're going into for the game against the Patriots on Sunday. Luke Goedeke, they opened up his 21-day practice window earlier in the week. That's a procedural move you make when a guy is on IR, and then you start the clock. Okay, now he's ready to come off. Obviously, the thinking there was that they were going to do this once the bye week passed and he was ready to go, and that appears to be the case as he practiced on Wednesday. I'm recording this on Thursday afternoon. He practiced Wednesday a little bit limited, or at least he was officially limited on the injury report. Today seemed like full go. So hopefully, I think that'll do as much for the Buccaneers, assuming he's himself and assuming he's not nursing anything. I think him being back will do as much for the Buccaneers as any injured guy coming back has done or would do for this team. I mean, obviously, Mike Evans is a long ways off. I think that is a big one, too, but that's not changing anytime soon. But that's a big, big one to get back for the Bucs, assuming, again, that he is normal and playing like himself coming off the bye. So the Bucs aren't that hurt overall with the bye, but they do still have their share. No Bucky Irving at practice. It's not his foot, it's his shoulder. That's the main thing keeping him right now, looking like he's not going to play on Sunday. Chris Godwin, Adam Schefter said he talked to a couple of league sources that Godwin may not be back till late November or early December. And it is what it is. I mean, he came back from a really tough leg injury. It's not surprising there was a setback. And I don't know the nature of, you know, what's holding him back right now and how much of it's related to the old injury. But he's not someone I'm penciling in as, like, just totally normal, back to himself, plug and play. No. If they get him back at all, they'll be lucky. And I wouldn't expect that much out of him. Even when he was back the couple games he did play before, he wasn't really doing that much. Now, the good news is Emeka Buka, whatever hammy tweak thing was bothering him, supposedly is fully gone. He's full speed. But, again, no Bucky Irving, no Chris Godwin, and then, Hassan Reddick also was not at practice on Thursday, so it's not looking great for him either. So, you know, it's all about up front, like I always talk about, both ways. The Bucks pass rush has all of a sudden gotten things going the past three games. They have 15 sacks the past three games, and all of it not just from one or two guys, 11 different players contributing those 15 sacks. And that bodes well for the Bucks going into this game because Drake May, as well as he's done it, he's been really, really good. He has been sacked 34 times. And if you look at some of the deeper numbers, Drake May has the highest pressure conversion to sack rate. Basically, of the number of times he's pressured, his pressures result in an actual sack at a higher rate than anybody else. And it's one reason why he's got 34 total. So hopefully that trend continues both with the Buccaneer pass rush the past three games, getting 15. And then on the other end of it, obviously Drake May taking a lot of sacks. Bucks are going to need him this Sunday. I still don't feel like I know what they've done. The numbers are right there. 15 sacks in the last three games. You can't argue with it. And the defense as a whole has been really good. I still feel like the pass rush isn't as ferocious as you would think if you didn't watch any Bucks games and I just told you that stat. Hey, three games, 15 total sacks. You'd think, oh, they're rabid dogs. They're coming from everywhere all the time. You can't stop them. It doesn't feel that way. But they've been getting home. And so that is something that, again, will matter a lot on Sunday. And, you know, the offensive line, I mean, it's not just pass pro either. I mean, and this is 2 weeks ago now, New Orleans. And they won the game 23-3. They ran eight plays from the goal line to try and get a yard. And got a penalty on one of them, had to reset. I mean, they got stopped on fourth and goal. Did it again another couple series later and finally scored. But, I mean, eight plays. And from a yard out, I know how this goes from both sides, right? Because when the other team has first and goal at the one, I'm already mentally penciling in the touchdown. I'm like, yeah, you're not stopping that. And you get 1 yard, and they had four tries. And the Bucs tried it multiple times, and finally they got in, running behind the right guard of all people. But, like, as good as Wirfs is, you'd think they'd be able to just hand the ball off and run behind him or run behind that left side with him and Bredesen, and they're not getting a lot of push right now. They're not getting a lot of push right now. But, like I said, Gedeky coming back will help, and the bye week certainly helped with that. Buccaneers under Todd Bowles are 1-2. After a bye, in case you were wondering, in Bowles' fourth year as the head coach. They were also 1-2 under Arians between 2019 and 2021. And he did give the team a full bye this year. So here's how it works, because bye weeks are interesting. I'm always interested in, like, the rules of being a player in a certain league, whether it's MLB or the NHL or the NFL in this case. So the collective bargaining agreement, you know, the players have to have a true bye. Like, you can't say, okay, well, there's no game this week, but we're still practicing. Remember, if anybody play high school football, like even playing high school football, I remember this. We'd have the bye week in high school, and it sucked. Like, you would just, it was worse. Like, game weeks were good because you'd go, like, light on Monday because you had a game the previous Friday. Then Tuesday and Wednesday were full pads, normal practices, which sucked. Then Thursday was pregame practice. We called it at Jesuit when I was there in the late 90s. And that was just shorts and t-shirts and helmets and just kind of going through, calling out every special teams unit, making sure everybody knew where they were supposed to be, running through some of the basic offensive sets, defense, running a few things. You're out there an hour and a half. Like I said, light work, light duty, go in, all good. Then Friday was the game, which is always fun. Then the bye week, practice normal full pads Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Maybe if you were lucky, you got Friday off. I played, you know, we had kind of an old school coaching staff over there. I was like, this sucks. I don't want to buy. I'd rather play 15 games in a row than have any more bye weeks. But that's not how it works in pro sports. In pro sports, you actually are required in the NFL on the bye week to be off for at least four straight days, including Saturday and Sunday of whatever the bye week is. So Todd Bowles could have And Tuesday is always an off day anyway in the NFL. So Todd Bowles could have, when they got home from New Orleans on Sunday, said, hey, come into the facility on Monday, then you're off Tuesday anyway, then we're going to practice on Wednesday, and then just giving them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. That would have been legal under the CBA, but he actually did give them the full week. Like they were, when they got home from New Orleans on Sunday night a couple weeks ago, they did not have to report back until Monday morning of this week. And Lavonte David said that's unusual. Like he's been obviously around the Bucs and the league a long time and said that's not usually how it is. Obviously, the Bucs are a team that needs it, and so hopefully it helps. But like I said, it's not a cut and dried thing. Like I was going to hope, and I looked it up and everything, trying to see if there was some eye-popping stat, like teams coming off the bye week against teams that had a game the week before are 75% against the spread or whatever it is the next week. And it's, I mean, there's a slight help. I mean, you do want to have a rest advantage. We've talked about rest advantage a lot on this show, usually when the schedule gets released. But it's not that big of a deal. Certainly, it's better to be the team off a bye versus a team that is not. Absolutely. But it's also not like you can pencil in a Bucks cover or a win or anything like that for the game Sunday at 1 p.m. It's going to be... I know everybody thought this game would get flexed. Yeah, everybody was waiting and waiting, and they could have done it as late as Monday of this week. But the Bucks and Patriots will play at the usual 1 p.m. I did find the coverage map. If you look on the NFL or somewhere on Twitter, not the NFL, but one of the places on Twitter that posts these things posted like the coverage map of like what markets get what games. Because, you know, Sunday 1 p.m., there's whatever there is, 7-8 games going on. And even per network, CBS and Fox, there's a handful for each. But most of the country is going to be getting Patriots Bucks, and it is going to be Nance and Romo. So it's going to feel like one of those 425 games, like the game of the week type thing. It's not a prime time yet. It's going to feel like, you know, with the broadcast crew and the idea that everybody's watching, a lot of people have this game on their TVs all over the country outside of just the local markets. And so... you know, maybe a little more fun that way. But still Sunday at 1 p.m., and the weather should be nice, like I said. Lots of Patriots fans. I want to talk about this for a second, because we don't know. You know, there's no numbers to track this. But I've heard just speculation that there could be upward of 20,000 or more people in the seats of a 65,000 stadium at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday that are rooting for the Patriots. And obviously, when you play these games here in Tampa... and we used to do it all the time when the Bucs were in the NFC Central, so they always had the Packers and the Bears in town, and there was always a big number, especially when, you know, when teams are good, there's more, which the Patriots are this year. But there was always a big number of the Wisconsin people and the Chicago people that live here. You know, people think, oh, these guys travel. Well, some of them may. I know a lot of them do, but a lot of them just live here or live near enough somewhere in Florida where they can come see their team. And on the other hand, too, this is an AFC game. So this is not even something that happens every other year or every year like it used to in the division with the Packers and Bears. This isn't every 8 years type of thing. And there was even an article on Joe Bucks Fan about it. Like there's all this chatter on the internet, you know, message boards and things like that. And there's going to be like supposedly some big Saturday night gatherings for the Boston people at local establishments and a huge tailgate party somewhere around the stadium on Sunday morning. Some local establishment is hosting some of the, which, you know, I mean, hey, money's money, I get it. But, you know, that's a little bit, you know, you shouldn't be juicing the out-of-towners when it's all about the Bucks. But, you know, you Bucks fans out there, locals can vote with your pocketbooks if you find out who these establishments are. But the point is, there's a lot, it's going to be a lot. So I know there's going to be a lot of teeth gnashing about it on Twitter. I know there's going to be a lot of people complaining about it on sports talk radio or whatever after the game. And I'll just say this now. This is what I always say when these matters come up. And they come up for the Bucks. They come up for the Rays playing the Red Sox and playing the Yankees and playing, you know, when they have the series once a year against Detroit or any of these, you know, old established northern cities that used to have big populations or still do in some cases. But some of them, you know, Cleveland, that type of thing. And then we play a game against them and it seems like they all come out of the woodwork. Hey. This is what I say to that. Take it as a compliment. We live in a beautiful place. We live in a place that people come from all over the country to live in. And we live in a place that people pay big money and make like their life plans around a vacation to I tell my kids this all the time. Like, we'll go to the beach, we'll go over to St. Pete Beach or something, and just, you know, park at the, you know, public parking lot and go to the community access beach right there. I'm like, dude, we're 25. The water will be clear. It'll be, you know, waves breaking. Sometimes you see a dolphin or a manatee or whatever. Whatever it is, you know, we have beautiful beaches. And I'll tell my kids, I'm like, you know what? We drove like 35 minutes to get here and paid like $2 to park. I was like, do you realize people like spend thousands of dollars? Like, again, they plan their whole like savings around this stuff to come just do the things that we do where we live. Like, we're that type of place. And so I get it. I mean, I'm born and raised here. And I'm, if you know me and if you've ever listened to this show, you know I'm very, very proud. Like, that's one of the strongest things I identify with as a person is my being from Tampa. I'm a big Tampa guy. But Tampa and the Tampa Bay area wouldn't be what it is with just locals. It's grown so much. And a lot of times people say too much. I agree. Like, it feels like it's getting a little crowded. But normally we like that growth and we like all the things that come with it. And there's a reason we have, first of all, we have three major sports teams. And there's a reason we have all the things that, you know, a big concert tour happens. Usually Tampa's going to be a stop, whether it's Taylor Swift or whatever. We've hosted Super Bowls. We've hosted national championship games. It's all that, whatever it is. Whatever it is you like. It may not even be sports related, but I like living in an area that has all those things. And we are that because so many people from so many other places besides just the people who are born here come here. Whether it's Boston, whether it's New York, whether it's the Midwest, whether it's Canada, there's tons of those too. It's fine. I know everybody goes, oh, snowbirds, and, you know, complain about the traffic increases. Fine, it's all normal. But at the end of the day, I really don't have this contempt for it like it might sound like. Nobody likes to go to the stadium and, you know, hopefully the Bucks don't have to do a hard count or something like that at their own stadium on Sunday when they have the ball if the Patriots fans are making noise. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to hear a Let's Go Yankees chant at the Trop. Nobody likes to hear all the Maple Leafs fans or Boston Bruins fans or whatever it is at a Lightning game. Nobody likes any of that at the time, but it is part of the deal of living in a place like this because I don't know very many people. There's a few, but I don't know very many people that are like, oh, yeah, he's a Tampa transplant, but he moved up to Boston. No, they come here. Like, this is the place people want to live. And like I said, I wish they'd slow down sometimes, believe me. But at the end of the day, take it as a compliment. Be proud of your area. And if you're going to the game and, you know, if you're looking to scalp tickets, that's going to be hard because, again, because of all the out-of-town northern people, tickets for this one are going, like, secondary market I'm talking about, they're going for, like, $200, where normally you can go to a Bucks game for $75 or something like that. Not this one. But if you are one of the people that's going and you're a local, you know, just do your best, you know, get loud, help out when you can help out, and otherwise, you know, don't worry about it. Again, these people come here. They come here because of reasons that are the same reasons I'm grateful to be from here to begin with. So I don't mind sharing it, and I don't mind having out-of-towners and all that stuff. Some of the stuff is less enjoyable than others. But at the end of the day, hey, man, it's paradise. I love it. I love Tampa. Love being a Tampa native. Love being a Tampa citizen. And I don't even know, you know, obviously I'm biased because it's my home. I'm not sure how I would feel about it if I was from somewhere else, but being from here and having grown up here, I can't imagine living anywhere else. I have no plans to move to some other place. They all want to come down here. I get it, because I love it as much or more than they do. But this stuff will happen, man. And, you know, there'll probably be, I hope not, but I mean, there might be some skirmishes and things like that and a lot of trash talk and things. And, hey, you know, again, all part of the deal. I went to so many games growing up at the Sombrero and saw, and it's not as bad now, I guess, because it costs so much to go to the game. You get, you know, there's a lot. It kind of filters out some of the riffraff on its own. But, like, there used to be fights all the time at the old Sombrero. You'll rarely see them now, occasionally at Raymond James. But when I was a kid, I mean, I didn't think anything of it, you know? Especially these games where you had a lot of fans from the opposing teams. Oh, Phil, I didn't even mention Philadelphia, which they're one of the biggest offenders, if you will. I know a ton of Philadelphia people that I'm good friends with. But the point is, it's not going to change. It's not an indictment on our area. It's not an indictment on our fan base, okay? I mean, yeah, in a place like Detroit where nobody lives there except people who are from there, of course the stadium's going to be full of nothing but those people. Who the hell is those people from Florida that live in Michigan, you know? When they come down here, yeah, okay, yeah. And these are big, in Boston's case or New York's case, these are big, major metropolitan areas. that have, even as Tampa Bay has grown, still don't have the population those places have. And they scatter all over the country to places like this. It's fine. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And it's even sweeter when you can get the dub. Hopefully the Bucks will be able to do that. In the meantime, what you got to understand right now is the Bucks have a three-game stretch. And I'm just looking at the schedule here. I'm not trying to look to just go week by week. I'm not trying to get too far down the road or anything like that. But just being realistic here, it's a three-game stretch coming up, like I said before. Patriots at Buffalo at the Rams. Then after that, the final six games. Okay? Arizona, who's going to be without Kyler Murray, who they just went on IR, although Jacoby Brissett's playing pretty well. But Arizona at home. The Saints at home. Atlanta at home, three straight home games. Then they finish up the year, two out of three against Carolina with the Dolphins sandwiched in between in December. So don't freak out if for whatever reason the Bucks, and I don't think they're going to go 0-3 during this stretch, but they might go 1-2. Hey, they might go 2-1, they might go 3-0. Any combination is possible, but I'm saying don't freak out, okay? I think if you told me the Bucks could win one of the next three and just one, I'd pick the Rams game. It's an NFC game, and it's a game against a fellow playoff contender with a similar record that could be. So that's the one I'd want to win. I want to win all three, obviously. And then the Bucks are actually in a good spot to win this Sunday. I think New England, I always look at where teams naturally should kind of be and where they are and look for regression to the mean, whether it be positive or negative regression. So the Patriots winning six in a row, I always look at like what the records would be after the game is over. Do you think it's more likely the Patriots are an 8-2 team and we're a 6-3 team? Or do you think it's more likely the Patriots are a 7-3 team and we're a 7-2 team? I feel like winning six in a row, some of them by the hair on their chinny chin chin, by the way, and against not great teams. I mean, the Patriots' losses are to the Raiders in week one, which sometimes week one games seem weird at the time and then they make more sense later. That one still seems weird. But they lost to the Raiders in week one. They lost to the Steelers in week three. They were 1-2. Between that, they eked out a win over Miami, blew out Carolina, beat the Bills, which is any win's a good win against the Bills, eked out the Saints, won pretty comfortably against the Titans and the Browns, who are both bad teams, and then eked out the Falcons last week. So they're good, but I feel like them winning six in a row coming into a game like this actually helps the Bucks a little bit. I feel like maybe... I'm not going to say that they're going to turn into a pumpkin, and that they're bad, but I feel like they're going to slow their roll a little bit, and the Bucks are in a pretty good spot this Sunday, especially, like I said, coming off the bye. But either way, it's not going to be easy, and this is a Patriots team that the Bucks offense needs to be able to pass the ball on because running the ball for anybody has been hard. Like I said, nobody's gotten 50 yards rushing on them as a running back, and that's anybody, let alone the Bucks, whose running game has struggled mightily. So it's going to be up to Baker Mayfield, who hopefully is feeling a lot better. I know he was just, you could see, dinged up a lot and just trying to make it through to the bye week. And now that he's done that, hopefully he's feeling a lot better. And some of the other guys we got coming back and just everybody having had the chance to heal up and feel better over the past couple of weeks. So either way, we're back and we're no more bye weeks now. We're rolling straight through. The Bucks have 9 straight football games and hopefully more than that. But... first one is this Sunday, 1 o'clock against the Patriots. Again, if you're going, have a great time. Be safe. Have fun. Don't let anybody from the New England area goad you into doing something you'll regret. Just be classy and keep it pro Tampa Bay. Thanks to the Joes for giving me the platform. JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere. TV, internet, radio for Bucks coverage. I appreciate them putting me in front of you. Thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully, talking about a 7-2 football team. But either way, until then, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.